Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. Today, we're going to be talking about one of the broadest toxic free areas of products that you can choose from, and one of the most regulated, and that's organic. Whether it's organic food or fibers or personal care products, there are a lot of regulations for organic. And my guests today are from TerraSentials, Diana Kay and James Hahn, and we'll be talking about what they have to go through in order to be a certified USDA certified organic farm and make USDA certified organic products. Hi, Diane and James.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Deborah.
Nice to have you on again. And listeners, they've already been on twice talking about their experiences about what organic means and why they decided to get their organic farm and all kinds of things about organic we've already talked about. So today what we're going to be talking about is the challenges of achieving their organic certification, what that's like. And so where would you like to start with that?
Well, first of all, perhaps I could clarify the types of processing, the types of certification that folks could get. How about that?
Great.
So in our particular instance, although we do live on a farm and we're situated here with our crafting studios operating in lovely Maryland, we actually have three separate operations going on here. We do grow organic flowers. We are not certified for the flowers, however. The flowers are something that we sell in our retail store, and we do also use our land here for doing experiments with herbs and flowers for research purposes, for things that we might consider using in our personal care products or mm-hmm. other types of products down the road. And so the types of certification that are available, we also make our personal care products. That's the second thing that we do. And the third thing that we do is that we own and operate two retail stores that feature our products and other fair trade handcrafts and also other certified organic and fair trade goods. So the types of certification that are available to a business are the one that I think that most people are familiar with, which is a certified organic processor or grower. A grower would be someone who is a farmer who would and you grow either plants or raise livestock or even grow raw materials such as cotton or hemp that could be certified organic and then further process into a textile. And there is a third type of certification, a second one, which would be called a certified organic processor and or slash handler. And what a processor is someone who takes those tomatoes that come from the farm or the cocoa butter that comes from the farm and processes the raw material into a usable organic finished, they take the crop and then process that and make that into an organic raw material. So, for example, with cocoa butter, you can grow the cocoa beans, the pods, and then those pods have to be dried, and sometimes they're roasted, and then you have to separate the cocoa butter from the actual chocolate or cocoa nib. So that's a whole nother step, and that would be not the growers don't process necessarily. Some growers do, but most farmers, which would be the first level or the first category, they simply grow the raw material, cut the material slash harvest it, and then they ship it off to the processor.
And the processor, if you're talking about cocoa butter, that whole process has to be according to organic principles, not just the growing of the plant. In fact, every step of the life cycle of that cocoa to be certified as in the end product has to be part of the certification loop.
So I have a question, Diana, tell us what the third one is, and then I'll ask my question.
Okay, the third one isn't very well known, and it's not something that's required, which we think is a a real big problem in the marketplace. And the third category would be, well, let me back up. I said that, first of all, the second category was a processor slash handler. A processor is someone who would take that cocoa butter and make it into a body cream, mixing it and blending it with other oils and butters, and then packaging that and then reselling that. Okay, so that's processing. A handler is someone who, for example, might purchase cocoa beans, let's say coffee beans, and they get them in large 50-pound bags, and these are green coffee beans, right? And perhaps they roast them. Maybe they already buy the roasted beans from somebody else. And if a person buys a finished raw material and all they do is just repackage it, they don't do anything to it. So they're buying roasted coffee beans in 50 or 100-pound bags, and then they're simply measuring it out and putting it into 1-pound bags and then stapling those bags or sealing those bags in some way and putting a label on them. That's a handler, someone who doesn't really process something, who doesn't use a mixer or a blender. So when we think of processor, we should think of processing tools, things that most of us are familiar with that
like
we probably
processor.
Have in our own kitchen.
There's
like
one thing I want to quickly insert here, and that is when Diana says you can have a handler who is certified. You could, for example, have a retailer where the store itself is certified.
Well, that's the third category, Jim. That would be the third category, and this is the one that I mentioned, gives us the bit of unsettling, because the Federal National Organic Program law does not require the retailer to be certified to handle or present for sale certified organic products. And this is what bothers us because, for example, we know of many different retail stores, some in, like, say, the health food category, some mass market groceries, where the stores might have an in-store deli where they actually produce and process food, and then they put it out in their deli cases for sale. And then there are other stores that don't have a deli, but they may have a back room where they'll take that watermelon and slice it up into quarters and make it more convenient and wrap it for people. Or they may buy bulk. They may have a bulk area. A lot of health food stores have bulk bins.
Yeah.
Where they'll dump those 50-pound, 25-pound bags of nuts into the bins. So those people are essentially, retail stores are essentially handling organic food, but this is the part that bothers me. They're not required to be certified.
The other thing, if you don't mind my saying, which is related to this, is you can have a store that announces to the world that they are certified as a handler. And that can give the impression that all of the products they sell are organic, but that is not at all necessarily the case.
I see the difference. So what is actually being certified is the farmer, grower, and a processor or handler can be certified. But are you saying that not only are the retailers not certified, but there's no even any certification for the retailer?
Well, good question. Actually, they can get certified, but the law does not require it. And we think that that's a big loophole that isn't good in the National Organic Program federal regulations because, for example, if you are a certified organic processor, which, by the way, that's what we are, and we'll get into this a little more about why we have the one certification, not the grower, but why we're processors and not growers, that when you are a processor, there are very strict regulations about how you have to maintain your facility, logs that you have to keep for maintenance, pest control, in addition to maintaining all the records for all of your raw materials and for your for your raw materials, you have to maintain your purchase order. You have to maintain all of the certification paperwork that comes with every single raw material, every single time you purchase it, and you're required to keep all of these documents for 5 years.
I don't want to interrupt you, but we have to go to break.
No problem.
You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guests today are Diana Kay and James Hahn from TerraCentials, and we're talking about the organic certification process. And we'll be right back after this to find out more. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and today we're talking about the challenges of achieving organic certification with my guests Diana Kay and James Hahn from TerraSentials. And you can go to their website where they have USDA certified personal care products, wonderful personal care products, at TerraSentials.com. Okay, go on, Diana.
Okay, so backing up to the retailer situation. For example, if you are a certified processor, for which we are, and also the person that you, another type of processor might be the person that makes the pasta sauce that you love that comes in a jar, or the bread that you like, those people who make those kinds of products, including personal care, would be certified organic processors. And then there is a really lovely coffee company over in New Jersey and many around the country who package coffee beans. And those people are certified organic handlers. There are some that might roast the beans and package them, and then those people would be the certified organic processor slash handler.
Because they're doing something to it.
Pardon me?
Because they're doing something to it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The thing with retailers is a lot of them are doing something. Even if it means they are opening that bag of bulk food and they're putting it in the bin, here's the question. What are they cleaning that bin with? If they are cutting that watermelon up into quarters and then wrapping it with plastic wrap, what are they cleaning their countertop and their knife with?
And the reason Diane is asking that is if they were doing it according to organic regulations, those dictate the types of cleaners that you can use.
Absolutely. There's a list. That is of approved products that you can and cannot use. And so that's a very important part of the processing slash handling. And in our case, I've also seen many stores that in their deli cases, they label food that they've prepared, whether it be macaroni salad or even a salad, but it's ready to go. And I've seen stores that label these products as organic because they use the materials, the raw materials from their produce section. However, does that, and this is what bothers me, when they take the raw materials, be it, you know, cucumbers, tomatoes, whatever, from their produce section, and the macaroni off the shelf and boil it, but they take it back into the kitchen, are they processing that food according to the standard that is required for the tomato sauce in the jar or the body care product? If they are not certified, they're not. No,
we don't know, and we don't know. We don't know if they're cooking that macaroni in tap water with fluoride in it and chloramines and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And when you were talking about the bins, the first thing I thought of was, well, what if they have bugs around? Are they just spraying? What kind of pesticide are they spraying to get rid of those bugs?
And
so now it's not organic anymore.
Well, that's our point. And by the way, just to back up. And this, we see this as another problem with the National Organic Program regulation. The NOP, that's the National Organic Program, allows people to use tap water in food, whether it be...
Or for any purpose.
For any purpose, or rinsing vegetables. And if you see a juice that says from concentrate, and they're required to list the juice concentrate and the water, that doesn't mean the water was even purified or distilled. In our case, we're uncomfortable with that. We don't drink tap water, so we use distilled water to make our products, but that is not a requirement under the NOP regs. And we're sad about that, but the NOP allows EPA standards for drinking water to be an acceptable quality of water to be used in food.
So that's an area where we go beyond the requirements.
Right. And so those are the basic levels of certification, but we thought it was really important to point out the retailer aspect because, that's the last stop where the food or the personal care products are before, you take them home. And we really feel that if a retailer is handling, that they should be required to go through a retailer certification, especially if they have, a prepared food section. So that, people can feel assured that, like you said, they're not using, pesticides. And a lot of grocery stores, any kind of store, they might even have a regular contract with a pest control applicator But also, even going so far as what you clean your countertops with, that's the level of detail
that we
have to go through.
I would assume, and I think that a lot of people make this assumption, that if you're buying something at a natural food store that they have prepared, that they're using the cleaners that they're selling on the shelf. That's not necessarily the case.
No, ma'am.
And that we should not make that assumption. I mean,
I do see
that a lot of times in stores, there's some people who are being employed at not very high wages that may not know how to do things. And that there may be a store policy, but it's not trickled down to somebody who's working on the floor.
And I
totally understand what you're saying, and I hadn't even thought of that.
Well, for us, it makes shopping very difficult for food. Because, Deborah, we're like you. You know, we're trying to maintain our health, and it's very difficult and challenging in this world. If you're someone like you or us or some of your other listeners who are purists and who are recovering from an illness or trying not to get ill, you know, we want to minimize, you know, the chemical residues. And so it becomes a challenge. And that's one of the reasons that we are certified organic as processors. And I mentioned earlier that I wanted to make the distinction. We grow here and we have, you know, a few acres that we've planted. The certification process is so intense, and there's so much work that's involved. We are a tiny company, and two things. Number one, we could not manage a certification for our farm and a certification for our processing. And the important thing is we're an experimental research. That's the kind of growing we do. We couldn't possibly grow all of the crops that we need and for the raw materials to be able to make our line of products. So we have to depend on partnerships with other organic farms around the world to be able to supply us with the raw materials that we need to use to make our products. So because the level of detail is so tremendous and the paperwork that's required, that's all we can manage.
And the climate.
I understand. We need to go to break. We need to go to break. So I'm going to stop you. But when we come back, I'm going to ask my question first before we let you talk some more. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we're talking about organic certification and everything that goes into that with Diana Kay and James Hahn from Terra Essentials. And their website is terraessentials.com, where they have lovely gourmet, certified organic personal care products, and we're going to find out what that means. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guests today are Diana Kay and James Hahn from Terra Essentials, and we're talking about organic certification. Now, I just want to clarify one thing. When a consumer sees that USDA organic seal, I always think that that means that the ingredients themselves are organically certified organic. So where does the processor certification come in? How would a consumer know that it's processed organic, or can that seal not be used unless it's been processed by an organic processor?
That's the second part. A company may not use the organic seal on their finished products unless the processing, so the growing of the raw materials and the processing, both steps are certified.
In fact, for a food, not only could they not use the seal, they would not be able to use the word organic to describe the product legally.
Okay, so as long as everybody's being legal, then if we see organic on a label and we see the USDA organic seal, that means that it's been grown and processed.
That's correct. Every step of the process has been examined.
That's the way it's supposed to be, and hopefully it is out there in the real world. You know, the USDA seal, and a lot of, I think we covered this in another show where, you know, we have different certifications coming to the United States from other countries, but those certifications aren't equal to the level of scrutiny and the detailed regulations that American companies, or let's not say American, but just any company, because a company in a foreign country could get certified to the USDA National Organic Program regulations, and they also would be allowed to use the USDA seal, and they, truthfully, they would find it to their marketing advantage to use the USDA organic seal on the front label of the product because it means much. People recognize it globally because it was the first organic detailed standard that was composed and created with consumer input.
And it's still the best standard in the world.
Okay, so now, given that it is, I mean, I've had people, other people on talking about this, and I'm pretty impressed with the standard. So given that it is so difficult, and why don't you tell us about what it takes to actually get certified so that people can understand that it's not just somebody walking in and saying, okay, you're fine.
Oh, my gosh, no.
Definitely
so
not.
Tell us what it takes. What's behind
seal? Okay, the very first step is your application process, which is a many-month-long process where you have to basically write a dissertation of what your company, your whole process is, what your goals are, describing the product that you're going to produce. So this is truly an essay form. And then you have to have supporting documentation for all of that. And the supporting documentation, I kind of just washed over this a little earlier, which means that anytime you order a raw material, and if you're a small company, it's sad, but you have much more work to do than a larger company because small companies tend to buy their raw materials in smaller quantities on a more frequent basis because you know, small companies are not making products in 30,000 or 50,000 gallon tanks. And right. That's common, by the way, for personal care products. They're made in these huge vats for when large companies do it. Many small companies, and we are one, we make things in very small batches, and we buy raw materials more frequently, which actually I prefer because I know that in many cases that means that we're getting fresher materials. However, when it comes to documenting all of that, all of those many purchases, it's extremely time-consuming because for every single purchase, you have to maintain the whole paperwork trail for every single purchase. Right. And in addition, we make ourselves all of the extracts that are listed in our products. We actually make all of those here in-house as well. Many companies, they buy their extracts, their herbal extracts off the shelf from herbal extract companies. So they're recording a purchase. In our case, we get into production logs. So we actually have to track all the raw materials for every single herbal extract that we make. And I'm talking we have to track them down to fractions of an ounce. And we have to be able to document that. In fact, one of the aspects of the process, and I'm skipping ahead a little bit here, is the inspection. And at that time, a certifier will select randomly a product, and you have to be able to track back through all of your invoices and production logs and all of your records to be able to track every drop of every material, every ounce, every gram.
And identify exactly which batch that drop came from.
So it's extremely complicated to do that. Especially if you have multi-ingredient products, and if you're also the producer of some of those multi-ingredient products. So, for example, an herbal extract is a multi-ingredient product because it requires two ingredients or more. We typically make a chamomile extract, and that would be certified organic grape alcohol or sugar alcohol. In our case, we tend to use sugar. Some people use the grain alcohols, but we prefer the sugar. It's cleaner. Mm-hmm. And then you would have your certified organic herb material. So we have to track. And again, we buy in small quantities. We're not buying 100 pounds and making, 100 gallons or 50 gallons at a time. We're making smaller batches. We might make a gallon or two. So we have to track every bottle, every drop of each herbal extract that we make, and if we've got 25, those are almost, in fact, they are, those are individual products. So So it's not just our finished product, which a customer would see as, you know, the body lotion or body cream, but every single ingredient that's an extract, that's a compound multi-ingredient, we have to track that as well. So in addition to that, and when we're first composing our application called the Organic System Plan, which is known, that's part of the regulations, we have to document how we're going to, and this is what we alluded to earlier when we were talking about retailers. We have a chart, and we have to break out every single method that we use to clean our facility. And so in addition to, and we have to list a mop, a broom, a vacuum, whatever tool that we use, we're required to list that. Then in addition to that, we have to list every cleaning product that we use. In our case, we use our own organically made soap. We make our own organic sanitizer. We use baking soda. We use vinegar. We use our own organic essential oils. So, we have to log every single thing. We have to actually have logs where we note when we cleaned, who cleaned. We have a separate log for maintenance when we clean our filters in our HVAC unit. We have another log, which is strictly for mouse traps, fly paper. We have plug-in UV lights with sticky traps. So
I need to interrupt you because the commercial is going to come on any second. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we're talking about how to achieve organic certification, what it takes to get that, with Diana Kay and James Hahn from Terra Essentials, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guests today are Diana Kay and James Hahn from Terra Essentials. Okay, so you were giving us lists of all the things you have to keep lists of.
That's essentially a huge component of what we have to do. It's paperwork documentation.
Our stack of documentation, how tall would you say that is, Diana?
Well, Deborah, it's the fattest white binder that we could find, and it's the 4.5-inch. That's our organic application. We have to have, for every raw material, we have to break out every single, so basically every recipe for every product is included in there. We had to create what's called a flow chart for every single product that's in there, where you actually have to use a bubble diagram. So you outline each step of your process for every single product. And you do that graphically with a bubble diagram. The paperwork, I have to say, it's tedious. Sometimes it feels like it's overwhelming. For a small company, it feels like it can be more challenging because larger companies, and I'll use this comparison, you know, they may make products once or three times a year, and they buy raw materials in metric tons, where we may be buying, when we buy certified organic lavender oil, we may buy 5 kilos or 10 kilos at a time. They're buying it in 55-gallon drums, and they may buy a pallet of drums, which is 4 55-gallon barrels, to make their product. So their paper workload is significantly less than it would be, and it's a shame. But it's the way that the documentation process works.
But it is the same standard that applies to all food producers. So that if you see a food and it has the USDA seal on it or uses the word organic, they are required to have gone through that entire process. Now, one thing I want to point out to your listeners is that if you're talking about personal care products, fewer than 1% of the quote-unquote organic personal care products on the market have gone through that process. Most do not.
And
okay,
that's
so
kind
give
of
us
sad.
Just give us a little summary about like what people would be reading on a label, like if they see organic. I actually, after your last show, one of my listeners wrote an email to me, and he asked me about a particular organic personal care product. I'm going to sneeze in about a second. So he said it contains organic ingredients. Excuse me. Wow, that's the first time I've sneezed on the air.
blessings, blessings.
Thank you. So I said to him, well, is the product itself certified organic or is the ingredient certified organic? And he said, because it didn't say on the website, and he said, well, I'm going to write to them and find out. And so they sent him back a very nice email saying, we're working on getting that certification.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that it is. So what exactly should people be looking for to indicate that it is a certified organic product?
Well, this is pretty important. And we've seen, and this is sad, in the personal care world, the enforcement is just not there. The first thing that we can tell people to say, to look for is, okay, the USDA seal on organic, the made with organic category gets tricky, and I'm going to dive into that real quickly, that, for instance, we have our hair wash, which a large component of that product is clay, and that clay is permitted. It's on the national list of approved materials, and it's clay bentonites are used in many different kinds of products. We use that in our deodorant as well. They are allowed, but you cannot certify salt minerals. So any minerals, calcium, salt, or clays, They would be allowed if they're not irradiated or chemically treated, but they're not alive. They don't grow. You can use them in products. So in our case, all of our other ingredients in our hair wash are our certified organic products, herbal extracts and essential oils, and that's it. We don't use anything else. However, because of the percentages, the product can't use the USDA seal. But it's been processed by us in our certified organic facility according to that organic system plan that's 4.5 inches high of paperwork and documentation. But we can't use the USDA seal on the back of the label.
Oh, yeah. Sorry,
go ahead.
Go on.
I was just going to say that the tricky part is if you are a certified company, you're required to list that who you are certified organic by. Now, what we've seen many companies do, and this is where it makes it so difficult for consumers, companies that are not certified, that are personal care products, they will list, like they may buy, maybe they're buying 3 ingredients that are certified organic, and they'll actually list those certifiers' name on the back of the label. And
yeah.
So a consumer thinks that that means that product is a certified product when that is not the case. The consumer should ask to see the company's organic certificate that shows that the company that makes the personal care product is a certified organic processor.
Well, I think that the companies should be posting that kind of information on their website.
Well, I agree. They should also be posting their list of ingredients for their products, but unfortunately...
Exactly.
All that
information should be there. And that's something that I'm working on, is wanting people to do that and encouraging people to do that and asking more questions of companies. I think one of the biggest problems that we have in the whole industry, all of consumerism, the whole marketplace, is simply not knowing what's in the product.
No.
And then another thing I wanted to say about the organic certification is that it gets confusing to the consumer when the product itself, like you were talking about, the clay portion of your hair wash is not an agricultural product, so it can't be certified organic,
right,
that ingredient. But there's nothing toxic about your clay.
And so,
that's a great little drawing.
Yeah, let me finish my sentence, and then I want to hear what you have to say. And so, so I actually had somebody say to me recently that their product was 100% organic because it was certified organic.
And I said,
your product isn't 100% organic because it's got other things in it, and you can't say that. I actually called up somebody and said, you can't run your ad.
but they do, Deborah. And that's
I know they do. But the point is that as good as the organic certification is, it's misleading in ways here. And the way I think that it's misleading is that your product is totally not toxic. But you can't say that it's organic, 100% organic, because it isn't.
And the shame of all that is, we are, and this is just from our perspective, but it's really important, you know, for consumers who are like us again, we're competing with literally hundreds of other companies who have synthetic chemical detergents in their like their shampoo, for example, and maybe they have a drop of three organic ingredients and they call the product organic.
Yeah.
And the consumer, and they'll list a couple of certifiers' names on the back of their label, and the consumer sees all of that and thinks that that product is an organic product, and yet it's got a man-made synthetic chemical detergent. It likely has chemical preservatives, phenoxyethanol. People are, you know, panicked about parabens, but all of the replacement preservatives have very little documentation or for long-term safety. So it's like you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and you're trading one, you know, thing for something
yeah.
that's unknown.
Yeah.
And so we deal with that, and it's so hard to communicate to consumers all of this because it is confusing, and that's why, oh, Deborah, your show is so helpful because you're helping to get people to understand the complexities of the labeling situations. And honestly, it would be so wonderful, but if we could have more enforcement in the personal care marketplace.
Instead of none.
But we honestly, it's like personal care products are orphans. Like, we're an afterthought. Like almost as if they didn't even anticipate that people would want to have a truly 100% certified organic body cream. You know?
Well, yeah, I agree with you. But I also, I think we've talked about this before. I see we've both been working in this field for 30 years, and
yeah.
we both see that there's progress. And there
seems
there to be even more progress. And we're not there yet, 100%. But it's so much better than it used to be. And the more we talk about this, the more people listen to the show, the more people write articles, the more people are educated, and then they can go and ask these questions and know what to look for and things like that, the more it's all going to kind of settle out, I think. I think we have a ways to go, but we only have less than a minute now. So I want to make sure.
It always flies by.
I know, it does, it does. You've given us so much great information. I'm going to have Diana and James on a regular basis, about once a month, and we'll be doing more shows talking about organic so that everybody can learn and listen. And thank you so much for sharing with us today. And thank you for your wonderful products. And I'll give you 15 seconds to say goodbye.
Well, Deborah, I would just want to say once again that Jim and I are so delighted that you have taken up the cause here to educate consumers about what organic means and to help peel back the layers of this onion so that people can see and learn how to read the labels and to know what questions to ask of
I'm going to stop you right there because that's the end of the show. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
TerraEssentials. They're TerraEssentials.com. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. Be well.